Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Kevin Keats is a winner.
Whoa. Absolutely. And I know it's hard for us to do it, but we're going to do it anyway, even though we're remote.
NC State.
I mean, close enough. As close enough. We did that like in stereo. Hey, man, go sleep. Mac, what the hell's going on down on Hillsborough Street?
I gave you my bold prediction. This guy will the ACC tournament. They're going to win this thing.
Now, that's a damn bold prediction there. Hang on.
I told you. Look, right now they're playing better than any other team in the ACC.
No, you got that right.
Facts.
But you know what's interesting? Again, we're talking about NC State big-time win last night, their fifth win in a row, defeating Notre Dame 80-69. But you know, the problem is, though, and, man, I wish Jasmine was on because I know she'd be all over this one. But, hey, Mac, the deal is, they canceled the finale, I guess, against Virginia Tech, regular season finale, due to COVID concerns. So, would this cancellation hurt them? Because, and I looked at the standings, hey, man, they are one game, they are 9-8 in the ACC. We're talking about NC State. If they were to beat Virginia Tech, which I don't know because Virginia Tech's pretty damn good, they would have been 10-8. Double-digit wins.
Well, of course, it could only make their resume better. But right now, they just need a strong showing in the ACC tournament. I mean, I get it. That one game may help. It may have put them there. But I'm just telling you, a strong showing in the ACC tournament could seal the deal for them. And put them where they want to be. Nah, get them off the bubble.
Man, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Because they can't send like eight teams to the tournament. Because I'm telling you.
Why not?
Well, man, if you look at the ACC standings, you got Florida State. Yep. You got Florida State, Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is third place. That game may hurt them too, but not playing. But you got Florida State, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Clemson, UNC, Syracuse, and now NC State. Damn. And by the way, NC State has just as many conference wins as Clemson, Carolina, Syracuse, and Duke. Duke's there too as well. So I don't know, man.
But the question is, but let's go back to the question.
Yes.
So we punish NC State because they play in a good conference? So they get punished?
Well, good conference is kind of, you're stretching just a little bit this year.
I mean, well.
Competitive is another way of saying it. Seriously, look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 9 damn teams. Nine teams is not going to the NC2A. And by the way, of those 9 teams, Duke is not even in that conversation. Everybody's saying Duke makes a run, they're in. Everybody can't go to the tournament.
Yeah, but if Duke makes a run, one of those other teams is not going to have a good showing, which may bump them out of the conversation.
That's fair.
So, you know, just like if NC State makes a run, somebody in that conversation may get bumped out. Because for them to make a run, they have to beat one of those teams.
It's good talking points for us. Think about it. NC State could be the team that changed the game for a lot of other teams. Who would have thought about that? I thought it. That's what you should say. Think about that.
If you go that far, this game being canceled with Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech. Yeah.
Imagine they win this game against Virginia Tech. And they end up beating him again in the ACC tournament. How could you keep him out? And how could you send Virginia Tech?
It's Unbelievable. But big win for the we gotta kinda marinate on that one just a little bit. But again, NC State 80, Notre Dame 69. Cam Hayes leads NC State with 20 points while Darian Sebrun has 17 points and 13 rebounds. Let's hear from Coach Keats, who talked about big team win over Notre Dame last night.
Man, I'm pumped. I mean, our team played extremely well on the road again. You know, I'm proud of these guys, man. They have fought. You know, I'll take you guys back to when we were 4-8, and this team had every reason, every opportunity just to kind of lay down a little bit or make some excuses about why we wasn't winning. But instead, they have battled, and we kind of flipped this thing around. And in that stretch, we won 5 road games and 4 in a row. So proud of our guys. I thought we did a tremendous job today. So I'm happy where we're at. It's tough, as you guys know, to win in this league, but in this league to go on the road and win 5 consecutive games, that's tough. And so proud of our guys. Questions?
Through this process, we don't know. We really don't know what it is Coach Keats said, other than, fine, if you don't want to play, I'll put some of these young guys in that want to play.
Questions?
Other than that, he didn't come out and say, I got the least talented team. He didn't come out and say they homesick and they want to go, you know, be with their families. He didn't say any of that. He just said, they got to want to win. That's where he left it.
Five straight wins on the road. That's pretty impressive in any league.
Absolutely.
Again, I think we. He playing those young. He playing backcourt is very, very young. But them boys, the kids, they grew up, man. And they're balling. And we give them a hard time because they're NC State, of course. But I did take my hat to them, man. Coach Keats got the boys playing. But that mentioned just a sidebar. Why is it something about coaching at NC State where when you finish the your opening statement, you gotta say, you said questions so emphatically like Dave Durham. Then of course Coach Keats said the same way. Is it?
Hey, look, it's a Wolfpack thing. You wouldn't understand, bro. It's Wolfpack.
Apparently not.
It's a Wolfpack thing. You wouldn't understand. But look, I like it. It's a Wolfpack signature. You don't know. If you don't know nothing else, you know they ready for what the. You know they ready for one thing.
Questions.
What's that?
Questions.
Are you serious?
Questions. You see, look. There's no trying to figure out, well, should we ask the question? No. I'm going to let you know I am finished speaking to you.
Questions?
Hey, Coach, tell us what time you want to ask questions so we can ask the question. Is it time yet?
Questions.
We don't care. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm talking
anyway,
about right
there,
baby.
Anyway, boy, she's just, you crazy. But no, but just think about it. Dave Durham does the same thing as Coach Keats. We hadn't heard Wes Moore talk about it. Maybe he say the same thing. We ain't got a sound bite of him yet. But I'm pretty sure he does the same thing as the other two questions. As the other two coaches do, which is something like this.
He's been winning a lot longer. So
that's true.
Maybe he hadn't been asking many questions.
Yeah, he played for national championship, so maybe he's good.
Questions.
Oh, man. Let's pivot real quick into a guy who has won a national championship. I think Jim Boeheim of Syracuse, who defeated Clemson last night. Wow, 64-54. That's a big win for them. They're still in the thick of things.
Clemson is exactly who we thought they were. I don't know what made y'all think Clemson was a basketball school, but it's okay.
They're picked to make the tournament, but we'll talk about that. But I'm not sure what it is about maybe Coach Boeheim. He's about 76 years old, I think he is.
Hey, look, I'm getting to a point now where I don't think that really matters. It's okay.
No, it doesn't. But
you can be 76.
That's true. Let's hear the sound bite where I guess during the presser last night, after the game against Clemson, he was still mocking a reporter. Let's take a listen and see how that went down.
I think we have gotten better as a team, and I think it's hard to go 9-7 in this league. I think it's a difficult league, very difficult.
Okay,
and I think these guys have done a great job this year. But if I had played Jesse and Kadari, we probably would be 22-2 now. I just didn't see that, and I couldn't figure that out by myself after 45 years. I need a reporter to figure that out who's never played basketball and is 5'2".
Ooh. Questions.
Ooh. Okay, so.
Ooh. Come on, man.
I'll try to think. What's the kid name that people were, even Lauren Brown mentioned it yesterday. He hadn't been playing, and a lot of fans and people were complaining about why he's not playing. Jesse, I can't remember his last name. But apparently, Jim Boeheim inside his feelings on what people are saying about him not playing this kid. Wow. Now he's a bit sarcastic. Well, I don't know anything. I've only been coaching 45 years. And how can you say something? You 5'2". Wow.
I couldn't figure that out by myself after 45 years. I need a reporter to figure that out who's never played basketball and is 5'2".
I mean, see, when you're 76 years old, you don't give a damn. You just say how you feel about it.
Come on, coach. You had to swing on the man like that. Why you swing on the man? See what I'm saying? So that's fine. You can talk about my height, coach. You can come at me. But it's still what? Facts. It's okay. You can be upset about it. You can be mad. You can be in your feelings. Still facts, coach. You know?
The kid they talking about, Jesse Edwards. Who's a sophomore. That's the kid he's talking about.
But it's still facts. You probably would be, what coach say, 22-2?
No, he just went over the top on that one. I would be 22-2.
But if I had played Jesse and Kadari, we'd probably be 22-2 now.
I mean, you can be mad all you want to, coach. I mean, the guy. Well, then again, I don't know. You didn't explain why you didn't.
Right.
You don't have to. You know, I mean, that's fine. But don't come out and get all salty and say, but the reason I did not is because of X. And I felt that this was the right path. Not, ain't none of your damn business. That's not really... I get it, you know, you little salty, coach, but that's not.
Yeah, but I got a word of advice for the 5'2" reporter, whoever he is.
John, take this the way it's intended, not to be as critical, but I'm a hell of a lot smarter about basketball than you guys are.
Shout out Joe McKay. He's probably listening right now.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
I may have this wrong. I'm not going to Google it. I'm going to test my mental, my recall. But 1988. Let me get it right. 1988 was the first year the Hornets was playing the NBA. I may be right about that.
I think you are right.
Fact check me on that one. I think it's first year. Nice segue. Speaking of the Hornets, guys, I'm just trying to tell you. Again, we sorry Thursday. That's the name of this because we playing Sam. We sorry the NC State. But we've been going hard on the Hornets, man.
Yep. And they were founded in 1988.
See, look at that. Damn, throwback, boy. That recall came back. I still got it.
His mental acuity is beyond approach.
His mental acumen is beyond compare.
And by the way, before we get on that, do you guys realize that the ACC tournament started in Greensboro today for the women?
Oh, yeah. Ladies.
12 noon.
UNC against Wake Forest.
Yep, so we'll have to follow that and check that out. But Charlotte played last night. His Hornets played last night. And defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves 135-102. Good gracious. The Hornets improved to 17-18, one game below 500. They sit right there in a number six slot in the Eastern Conference. And I think I made a bold prediction like UK making bold predictions. I said the Hornets are going to make the tournament. I mean, going to make the playoffs. That's what I said. But, man, is LaMelo that – first of all, LaMelo is – LaMelo Ball is that good. We we won Street Culture because his other two brothers kind of let us down.
Say that sound bite. Reese giving somebody from the Ball family some credit?
Yeah. Yeah, say it. First of all, let's say that.
I'm undefeated, never lost.
But the other guy, you know, who came over with the Kemba Walker trade, you know, a couple years ago, Terry Rozier is balling out like crazy. So in the win last night, Rozier had 31 points. Gordon Hayward, the big money guy they brought in, had 23-9. And LaMelo Ball, 19-7. I was watching the game. He had like 4 3-pointers in a row.
You were watching the game? How?
I got my homeboy hookup NBA pass. That's what I was watching.
Okay.
I was going to say. So what, you got the Hornet package? Because you look.
No.
Nobody else can see it.
You know, it's funny. On a regular TV up here, when you watch it, they don't – and this is Spectrum now. They don't even update the doggone the guide on TV. Like, it'll say something like you watching, I don't know, some cooking show, but the game will be on. It's on station 324 when they're playing, and it's weird though. You get lucky.
That kind of stuff costs money, man. Stop playing.
But man, Mac, Caesar, I'm talking about they're playing very, very well. And Terry Rozier is balling out. Let's hear from him after he dropped 31 last night against the Timberwolves.
I drank some of that secret stuff that they gave Jordan and Space.
Hey,
I just came out aggressive. My teammates did a great job of finding me. And, you know, like I said, you know, for me, for a lot of guys, when you hit one or two, the hoop really becomes the ocean. So, you know, it just finds its way into the basket. And I just feel good about myself.
He dropped five threes, had 18 points in the third quarter. Good grace.
I like it though. I like it. They play, you know, they play with a lot of energy. They're good. We'll see when the pressure gets turned up a little bit how it works out. But I like it so far.
Well, let me say this. They're fun to watch. They got Miles Bridges and, you know, the kid from Kentucky and Bismack's still there. Bismack, one of those guys that you just, you know, we call him Old Faithful. You know, he just going to be there. He's going to do all the dirty work. But I like watching it. They're fun to watch. Now, I am concerned about Devontae Graham, though, because I think he may be injured or something. But, it may be hard for him to get back in that rotation. I'm just saying.
Yeah. They say, back, you know, you got to play your way back into them.
But we give them a hard time. But shout out to the Hornets, though. They're actually exciting to watch, and it's good that they're winning. And maybe it's good for them to take a break right now and come back strong after the All-Star break, which is this week coming up. Next couple of days, actually. So that's a great look. And real quickly, because we're going to go to Mike and Kerry in a second, James Harden came back. James Harden is probably one of the best basketball players I've ever seen. And I just figured that out this year.
Whoa, wait a minute. Okay. You have my attention.
Now, I'm not talking about, you know, conference finals James Harden. I'm talking about regular season James Harden. Because some reason in conference finals, something funny happens. But man, for him, he joins KD, he joins Kyrie, and clearly he is that dude in that group right now. KD's not playing, but think about it though. He came home to his former team in Houston last night actually, and messed around and had a triple double. His second one, the other day he had a triple double, 30 some points, 15 rebounds, 14 assists. Last night he had 29, 10, and 14 in his first game back in Houston. As they defeated Houston Rockets 132-114, Houston Rockets, they're terrible. What do you think about James Harden, though, K-Mac?
James Harden, by far, outside of his defense, his defensive ability, which when you get a score like this, who cares?
Right.
If you want to play defense or not. By far is one of the most talented scorers in the NBA I've seen in a long time. Now, I'm gonna stop short at one thing. He's a great trick shot artist, I would say. But I don't know if he's a winner. Mm. So, I don't know if he's a winner. That's my heartburn right now with James. I don't know if he's a winner. Because I've seen it when it matters. When it matters down the stretch, I've seen it when it matters, when things are close. And he has never been able to get over that hump or push through.
So I'm going to retract
Calvin
my
Murphy.
Statement. Yeah, I'm going to retract my statement just a little bit. I'm going to modify it. Not one of the best. He's the best offensive player I ever seen. Because, I put it that way. Yeah, because it almost unstoppable. And to your point, we haven't seen him do that much on the in the playoffs. But let's hear from James Harden after last night's big-time win. Finished up with a mess around and had a triple-double in his first game back. Let's take a listen.
A lot of mixed emotions for the fans. But I'm just happy. My team did an unbelievable job of just having my back and allowing me to come out here and as a team get this win. Credit the ownership of the Rockets, the Tita family for, putting my jersey in the Raptors. Hopefully that shows, on the court, off the court, the contribution that I had to the city. So, once again, I appreciate the support, love, and, the show goes on.
Wait a minute. Did they retire his jersey?
I don't think they did it officially last night, but the Rockets owner said that it would be, his number would be retired in the near future. Right.
Well, if you keep busting their head like that, they ain't going to retire nothing.
I know.
I'm going to tell you that right now. They're going to say, look at you like, no, nah, bro. We're going to hold off on that for a minute. Once you retire from the NBA, we'll put your jersey in the Raptors.
But that's funny.
You know what? Kyrie Irving was quoted in some way. I couldn't find it. But Kyrie Irving was quoted as saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Like, he was literally talking about James Harden. And how good James Harden really is. And he says, this is what he does, but you haven't even seen how good he really is.
Wow. Well, maybe Kyrie knows.
Damn.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let's quickly go to the phones right now. We got Mike and Kerry. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good morning.
Ooh.
Glad we're celebrating this year, the year that the king of New Jack Swing ruled the airways in 1988.
Look at him.
Look at the king of New Jack Swing. Who is that?
Sir.
Look at
him. Teddy Riley?
The man with the soulful voice. Teddy Riley, Virginia Beach, shout out.
I know how you Virginia Beach boys get down. Go ahead on, Virginia Beach.
He built that studio right behind my high school and discovered a young fella with a funny looking hat called Pharrell Williams. But that might digress. I digress.
Two down.
The man with the soulful voice. The deep soulful voice from the deep south. King of New Jack Swing himself, Rick Astley. Play it.
What you know about the Tidewater area?
Who? Rick who?
Rick Astley. Come on. He is what Bobby Brown wishes he was.
Okay, but you
Who the hell is Rick Astley?
I never heard Rick of Rick Astley. Who is that?
Hold on a minute. Y'all keep talking like that, I'm going to kick you out of the members only club. Rick Astley.
I don't know who the hell Rick Astley is, Michael. I really don't.
Sheezy, would you help these guys?
I will. I'll send them a message.
Well, hell, help everybody else that's listening too.
Yes, exactly.
Too busy putting your hair in braids like Hair Trent the Arby or something like that.
Hair Trent Darby.
Hey, so let me ask you something. Charlotte Hornets, I'm never going to give you up. By the way, why do you always cut off? It's like you like jazz. You always cut off the sound bites after the game. Terry Rozier credited the pregame Bible study and massage for his game last week.
I bet he did. Why did you cut that out? I bet he did.
So did LaMelo make the playoffs? I mean, the All-Star game?
He made the whatever the game they have for Shining Stars or something. Yeah, right. He made that. Well, that's good
because let me tell you something. James Harden, enjoy him now because come playoff time, there's going to be problems. I don't know if you guys saw, but, you know, I got connections up in New York, in Brooklyn, right?
Right.
You know, James Harden signed an endorsement deal, not with Under Armour, not with Pepsi Zero, but with McDowell's.
No, not McDowell's.
And he McDowell's. Is putting away those Big Micks like crazy.
come playoff time, he may be a little heavy.
That's exactly right.
By the way, Michael, I'm looking at Rick Ashley here, right?
Can you tell? This is someone you can relate to, Rick. Look at that boy. Yeah, right.
Ooh. Okay. I'm with you, Michael. Never heard of this guy.
Hold on. Why does he say his career ended in 1993? He had a 4-year career. He ended in 1993. Like, what the hell?
Look, this guy grew up in the inner city, had a tough life, had too much success too soon.
Mike, wait a minute, he was British, Michael. What are you talking about?
What? Yeah, next thing you know, you're going to tell me he's white. Come on.
Mike, he is white.
Man, I'm out of touch.
You might want to start using that Google thing yourself.
I know.
By the way. Vanilli. I was cool.
His real name is Rick, but his real name is Richard Paul, in case you want to know that too. So just want you to know.
Yeah, you all always throwing biased comments, aren't you? you know, and I'll tell you how much this show shakes my view. You know that kid from UNC Chapel Hill, the one that Walton, John Boy Walton, the one you say has an old man game?
Kirby Walton. You call him John Boy.
Kirby.
He probably.
I thought I was going to look him up and see a picture of Rick Astley. Kerwin.
It's probably possible, though.
Go ahead. Get back.
I was going to ask him before we let him go. You didn't say anything about Clemson, you know, folding.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't mention that, Michael.
Ooh. Yes.
I saw the big orange whooping ass last night, so I said, another win for the
You said somebody orange is going to win that game, right?
I tell you what, don't sleep on Syracuse, man. Jim Boeheim's got him peeking.
Now we're Syracuse fans.
Listen, Jim Boeheim is hungry for some Stamey's barbecue. He wants to come to Greensboro with a vengeance.
That's no value in Greensboro.
None.
That's his favorite and only restaurant in Greensboro.
No value in Greensboro.
All right, Michael, we got to bounce, man.
All right, we'll see you. No value at all in Greensboro. We'll see y'all. All right.
But I was a lonely man. That dude there, man.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
From the basketball court at the University of Virginia to the classroom at UNC Chapel Hill, Dr. Deborah Strowman has it all covered. Now this professor and sports business entrepreneur is about to take you to school. It's time for Dishing It Up with Dr. Strowman and the Sports Shop on Buzz Sports Radio.
Good morning. How are we doing?
D-Stro, how you doing?
How are we doing this morning?
Good. There's certainly, again, never short of different topics. And I'm going to stay away from the Creighton comment about Coach McDermott and the plantation, because I think we could be on for a few hours on that one. But it is March. It is Women's History Month. And I want to bring up two issues that are directly related to women. and one would be considered rather somber. Certainly, many of us who are active in the sports industry know about the Kellen Winslow II. I think we all followed him because of his amazing father, who was a Hall of Fame tight end in the NFL. But Kellen Winslow II was just sentenced 14 years for multiple rapes and sexual offenses against five women, although there were others. They weren't a part of this plea agreement. But he was convicted of forcible rape of an unconscious person, assault with intent to commit rape, indecent exposure, and lewd conduct in public. Winslow played 3 years, and he actually was once the highest paid tight end in the league. He accrued more than $43 million in his career earnings. And he actually made the Pro Bowl as well. And so the question is, do we ever really know someone? Think about the people that we've worked with, think about the people in our faith centers, people in our classrooms, people in our fraternities, sororities. Do we ever really know someone? How can we have someone that we spend not like an hour a day with, but many, many hours? You sweat with this person. You work out with this person. You eat with this person. You travel with this person. And yet there was a very, very damaged young man who was a serial, as has been said, a sexual predator. So I'll pause there and just get your thoughts on reflecting and how we actually know people, and can we ever?
Well, I mean, the answer is no. You can't. I mean, the Winslow situation still shocks me. I remember the kid who was playing for Miami. You know, he was kind of extra. I mean, he was different, but to the extent that you think about him and what he was charged with. It blows my mind. And to your question, no, I don't think you really do know a person. I'm reminded of the defensive back from the Saints, Darren Sharp is, I think, his name or whatever.
Yes, Darren Sharper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sharper. Mm-hmm. I still can't figure out his issue to this day. Yeah. And he's in jail right now for something very, very similar. And I'm sorry, he's in prison right now for something very, very similar. And so, when you look at, I mean, and these are people who I didn't know, but there have been some situations, guys, I've been around or whatever, that they do something stupid, you're thinking like, well, I didn't see that one coming. I didn't think he would do something like that. So, yeah, you never know. You never really know a person unless you're that person. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Reese. I mean, it makes me think, like you just mentioned, Dr. Strowman, you could work with a person every day. You can serve, in the same unit in the military as a person every day, be on the same team as a person. And sometimes you really just never know, that level of detail about the person, because they show you what they want you to see, right? But in this instance, in these cases, I don't know. It's disappointing to find out that a person feels like they have to do that in order to complete themselves. And that part is the most disappointing part for me, is they have to do those types of things to other individuals to make themselves feel better is the most disappointing part. Mm.
Well, we're no doubt, we've talking about, psychology here and how complex the brain is to walk amongst us, but yet be a totally different person. And I guess this goes back to, remember, we're old enough to remember that movie Sybil that scared the heck out of us. The woman with I think like 14 personalities.
It was actually 16 total. 16 personalities.
Yeah, yes. 16 personalities.
Yeah, you're right. Right? Yeah.
That's a reality. And so this makes me think, because I'm one who's guilty of it. When we have younger people, I'll say under the age of 30, and they do something very, very ugly, like murder, you know, their parents or or shoot people. And then we come back and say, let's say it's a teenager and we come back, well, the parents had to have known. And you see these parents on TV saying, I didn't know this about my child. I didn't know, you know, that they were doing this, that they had these tendencies. And many of us, and I've done it, and I've said, well, how can you not know? It's your child. You know, you've lived with them. They, they're in the bedroom, you know, 10 feet away from you. They eat at the dinner table with you. And so I guess I'm speaking to myself and the radio audience, but maybe holding grace for parents who end up with very violent children.
Yeah. That's a great point. As he was talking, I was just thinking through that as well. We found ourselves blaming, like, well, the parents had to know. Of course, you know, how can parents not know? But then, you know, to your point, and we just talked about it, all three of us. We could be with people every single day, eight hours a day.
That's right.
And still don't know the person. So,
yeah,
that's a tough.
Well, I did look up a few things about, you know, what behaviors we should look for. And again, there's always absolutely exceptions to this, but different signs. One is people using violent and threatening language, and of course, physical violence with people that he or she considers weaker. You know, just that sense of a power issue, right? Because oftentimes rape is not about the sex, it's about power. Another sign is anger issues. People who cope with everyday problems with violence, you know, hitting and breaking things. And certainly we know the research around younger people when they're really, really violent to animals. And the animals will let you know, as in, you know, stop it. And then people who change their moods a lot. And I'm not talking about, I'm saying this mood change is very quick. Like they go from a zero to, you know, 50, like it within seconds. Normal to very, very aggressive is another sign. So as always, you know, if you see something, say something. If you're concerned or what you would call disturbing behavior, you know, it's interesting. Someone turned me on to Mindhunter. I don't know if you're watching that series, but it's a very, very good, well, I'm going to say good. It's an excellent series on FBI agents who deal with people who are deviant, who exhibit deviant behavior, and learning more about the psychology of how we can actually detect and predict someone's behavior in the future. So that's a good learning here. But the other thing I want to turn to is the Washington football team. They made a drastic change. They are going to have a co-ed dance team, as in they're ditching their cheerleading program for the first time in 50 seasons. So guys, if you feel that you can shake and you can throw women up in the air, here's the opportunity. Now, what prompted this? Some people saying it's saying that it goes exactly to former cheerleaders who made serious allegations that there were staff members who were secretly recording them while they were naked, while they were making a bikini calendar in 2008 and 2010. So I guess another aspect of the Me Too movement. But Washington football, no more cheerleaders. It's going to be guys and gals out there entertaining us.
You know what? K-Mac.
Mac. Fine. You know what?
Y'all, Mac.
You know, everybody wants, you know what? Y'all just take the damn team. Y'all want to change the name? You want to take the, so you know what? Fine. Just take the team. Just, if you want to run the team, you run the team your way. Go ahead. You can have it. You can have the team.
Mac, I guess I'm just trying to figure out. I mean, so hold on.
Stop it.
So, Dr. Strong, we talk to Dr. Devin Strong. We rock work each and every Thursday, same place, same time. This is D. Strong. So, let's kind of dish this up. D. Strong, so are they cheerleaders or are they on the dance team? Because to me, those are two different things.
There is no more cheerleading. It's going to be a co-ed dance team. And so they will be able to, you know, we've talked about this before, about how I feel about these nasty cheerleaders gyrating in front of people. You know, I go to the Hornets game and here comes some woman, you know, putting her butt in my face dancing. And I'm like, I actually feel cheerleading is outdated anyway. And I know I'll get a lot of, you know, speak grief for this, hey, because they're athletes.
Speak for yourself, Jay. Hey, Dr. Strong, speak for yourself.
I don't want to see it in the public setting. I like the youth teams that they bring out, watching little kids dance. But I'm not for this.
Hey,
They're showing their cleavage, their pants up, their butt.
I don't want to see no guy gyrating in front of me either. I'll just put it that way.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
So you feel my pain in the elevator, and some woman presses up to you and tries to touch your man thing, okay?
One of the all-time great sound bites.
All-time great sound bites right there. I think that was number one.
That year. 2018.
That's what I'm saying. You got the pants all up the butt.
Yes. I'm there to watch the game. I didn't come for this. I could have gone down to the club or strip club.
I'm there to watch basketball.
I'm there for the entertainment. And I don't need this sexual thing in front of me. I don't even want to have a guy with it. Well, let me stop because I'll have
There you go.
No. I caught myself.
Man thing.
Oh boy! You know what, Doctor Darryl Strowman, this conversation was sparked by the Washington football team having an addition of male.
No, replacing.
What do you mean replacing? What do you mean?
There's no more cheerleaders.
Okay, you know what? I'm done. I don't want nothing then. What are they gonna do?
They're gonna take the band. Diverse look.
What's the matter? What now? They gonna take the band and now we can't play go-go? The band can't play go. You know what? Fine. You can take the damn team. Y'all want to run the team? You know so damn much. You take the team. You take the team. You can have it. We don't even care no more. You can have it.
The point is, the league won't miss them in terms of wins. So see you later.
Whoa! Wow!
It's the tradition, the brand. I mean, Washington is one of the traditional teams of the league. But
aren't you a Vikings fan, Dr. Strowman?
We don't have an issue with. Well, I can't say I'm not there. I don't know about the gyrating Vikings.
Yeah, you're right. You don't have an issue with wins because that's not something you do. But I'm just saying.
Michael, can we Google a head to head?
How about this? How about you Google the trophies? Show me your trophy. Show me.
All right, now you're getting disrespectful. K-Mac, you're bringing up trophies.
Y'all did do them a favor. Y'all gave them their quarterback. So you know.
Thank you.
Hey, look, Reese. All favors ain't favors. You're welcome. You can have it.
The last meeting 2019, Minnesota 19, Washington 9.
Hello. Thank you.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's cool. But the last time
can we find out head to head over the, well, probably Washington's better since the history of the teams, but I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm trying to go back to this dance team. I'm trying to think what would be a good song like for the dance team to dance
to. He's being shady though.
No,
he knows I hate this. I really don't like it. And you're going to be.
I love it. Well, I saw it last night. I said, this is going to be perfect. But no, I'm thinking, what would be a good song for the WFT dance crew to dance to? I got to be there for the first game when they come out, K-Mac. This is going to be incredible. Mm. Don't you think so?
Oh, Reese.
That's a great question. Michael Jackson beat it?
Yeah, there you go. Somebody Diana Summers or something. I don't know. We gotta come up with something. So many times
I have opportunities to reflect and say how much I love and adore and care for all of you. This ain't one of them.
I got to get in the last jab with K-Mac all time. Minnesota Vikings lead the Washington football team 14-13.
Uh oh.
There we go. Beat it.
If I watch a football game, I see the little guys come run out of the locker room with tutus on. Are you kidding me? I mean, what's going on?
I'm just glad that we recognize how women feel when we see these gyrating women in front of us and we're trying to watch the game. And how you all feel if a gyrating man is in front of you while you're trying to watch the game. They're showing their cleavage, their pants are up there. Thank you, Michael.
I aim to please.
I don't think you. I can. Dr. Strowman, I'm gonna say it with all the love in my heart. I don't think you can remotely think about how we feel.
That's true. Yes.
You trust me when I tell you, you have no idea how we actually feel when that happens. True. So I apologize if you've had to endure that for as long as you have.
Thank you. Let's play the game. Focus on the game. That's what it's about.
That's right.
And in fact, it's been interesting watching this past season, watching the college players. I'm sure they've been coached how to cheer for their teammates because there's nobody in the arena. I love watching the guys starting their own cheers. Cameras are panning over to them when they're doing crazy things to try and stay motivated. But I think that's a beautiful thing. Cheer for your teammates.
And it's getting them ready. In the event they don't make the NBA, they can go and try out for the Washington football team dance team. I mean, I think it's great.
All right, Rich. I got something for you, buddy. What you
worry? No, I'm just saying. D. Stroh brought it up. I didn't even bring it up, even though it is in the rundown. We're going to talk about it later.
Don't you blame it on Dr. Strowman all you want to. I got something for you. You just hang on to that. You just hang on to that.
Victory,
buddy.
Victory. Let's not cry. VICTORY. When we win it, you're doggone right. Fight, fight, fight. K-Mac.
Shake it.
Well, I'm looking forward to your trying out.
Oh, God. Is there an age limit? Me and K-Mac, hey, Mac, where you playing? Is there an age limit to that? Or anybody can?
It's not a matter of an age limit. It's a matter of what you're going to look like in that slinky suit that they're going to ask the men to wear. That's what I want to see. Post a picture on Facebook of you guys in some very tight-fitting clothes and let the Sports Shop audience vote.
Reese. I'm retired. You ain't gonna bring me out of retirement.
Oh, that's right. K-Mac did make a living in college, D-Stroh. I'm not sure you know this. He made a living,
Hey, all right, Dr. Strowman. Okay, yeah.
Chocolate Thunder, baby. Chocolate Thunder for 7 or 8 o'clock.
K-Mac is here. Singers on the pole.
Hey, get your singers ready.
Get
your singers ready, baby. Let's go. Singers and your little pepper wings. I think I do, D-Stroh.
Why you play? How much they pay up there in D.C.?
I don't
know. Our good buddy Flint Benson sent a message to us. A theme song for a Washington football team, A Horse With No Name by America.
Wow.
That was insane.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
All right, so I mentioned real quickly before we went to break, I was talking about some NFL action. Notable NFL news is here locally is Thomas Davis, a Carolina Panther great, is going to retire as a Carolina Panther.
I thought he's already retired.
No, they cut him.
They cut him. That's what happened.
So he's just been floating around for a year and a half or whatever?
I think he played for a couple of teams. I can't remember who he played for last year, but. So what they're gonna sign?
The Washington football team.
But there you go.
So that started the debacle with Dwayne Haskins. Remember, he was the one that
Oh, that's right. I thought you were joking, but you're right. You were actually right about that. Yeah,
that started the whole debacle with Dwayne Haskins. He went to the coach and said, "Hey, man, that young kid you got, he bad for you." No, we're gonna give him a chance. I know, but I'm just telling you how this is gonna work out. And he was right. It didn't work out so well. But he announced, a longtime linebacker for the Carolina Panthers announced on his Instagram page last night that he was retiring after his release from the Washington football team. I guess he didn't make the dance team.
I was going to say, that's another opportunity right there. The dance team came back. It's going to get better and better each and every day. I'm just telling you right now.
Trust me. Rodney, you're going to have to help me, man, because this dude's going to kill me with this dance team stuff. But anyway, he signed a one-day contract on March 11th as a member of the Carolina Panthers so he could retire as a Carolina Panther.
Are you a fan of these one-day contracts, by the way? They sign a one-day contract with their former team, so they say they can retire as, like, Emmitt Smith signed one with the Cowboys, I believe, even though he was with the Cardinals. He played for the Cardinals.
So the reason I'm a huge fan of it is usually players that play for so long with the team, once they finally do leave, they go one or two places, get a pretty good check, play like crap, and then finally decide, all right, it's time for me to go.
it's a way for us to hopefully erase that little 5% of their career that they look like garbage in the history books. That's all, and that's why I'm a big fan of it, because I would rather remember all the great things, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, about what he did for the Carolina Panthers versus him retiring as a Washington football
garbage
team member.
Yeah, I'm with K-Mac. I'm a huge fan of that. I think it shows respect to the guy that's given so much to the organization, and a one-day contract and then retiring at that point doesn't hurt anybody. And again, it's an honor to the person for their lifelong contribution to the organization. So I love that idea.
So yeah, so I think it's great. I think it's a wonderful thing. And shout out to the Panthers. I'm glad they got a chance to do that. So, and the organization should get credit for having a relationship with such a tremendous player in the NFL. Right. You think he's a Hall of Famer, guys?
You know what? I'm so, this conversation kills me, because here's my opening comment to that. Everybody's now the Hall of Famer. Okay.
Uh-oh. Right.
Reese is a hater.
Like, I'm gonna say something. A lot of people, is Carmelo Anthony the first ballot Hall of Famer? You came back. First ballot.
Yeah. How many championships does he have?
One in college.
Okay, no.
He has a couple gold medals too, Olympics.
That's true. So I guess my point is
he can be an Olympic. Go ahead. He can be an Olympic.
I guess, and not trying to say the top on the NFL, but I guess last night, and people in our business, we're good at saying, were they talking about a player? I was watching Portland play for a second last night, and Mark Jackson's like, well, Carmelo Anthony, no, definitely, unequivocally, first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm like, wow, okay. So anyway, getting back to your point, I kind of went off on a tangent, but everybody's not a Hall of Famer, and I don't think Thomas Davis, I'm not sure he's a Hall of Famer. I say no right now.
Mm. You don't think wait a minute. You said Thomas Davis?
Thomas Davis, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, I got it.
Yeah, Melo's a Hall of Famer. I don't think first ballot, but we'll talk about that later. We're talking about Thomas Davis, who's retiring as a Panther.
So, Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Three-time Pro Bowler.
Yep.
He had a first-team All-Pro selection 2015, second-team All-Pro 2013.
Come on.
What else? I'm about to ask y'all to go. Well, no, are you going to go put some research out on me? Okay. All right. So
No. See, I just want to try to see if we could drive a wedge between what you feel and what's fact.
And then put up Torrey Holt's stats. Yeah. Put up his
True.
Stats.
Yeah, I got you.
Now the first ballot. Hell, Torrey's only about the fifth ballot. And hadn't got in.
True.
Drew Pearson almost 30 years to get in. So we're just gonna throw people in because of what he made a Pro Bowl three times. You better come on. I don't think
what
so.
What kind of impact are we looking for? What is the first ballot? What's the first ballot for you?
Tom Brady.
Of course.
Wow. There is no ballot for Tom Brady. Matter of fact, I'm offended. I'm offended if they ever get to this point that they would use a ballot when Tom Brady is eligible.
Great, Tom. Congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, seriously, I'll be offended.
TV.
Like, there should be some people that you shouldn't even be in the process. It should just be different. It's different.
Right.
You shouldn't even be in that process.
In the words of Giselle, what more do you have to prove?
Right. That's what she told Tom when he came off the field.
I said the same thing the other day, and then she told me to stop calling. But anyway, okay.
I got another one for you, K-Mac.
Yep.
Adrian Peterson, first ballot. If you guys said the answer is no.
Well, I mean, in the last 10, 15 years, name one running back that's been better. Not one.
See, But see, the thing is, I don't think it's about position.
Okay. Well, that's unfair. I think it's about Tom Brady and some of these other guys, that's a part of the game. That's unfair. That is completely unfair.
We need a whole segment to read AP's accomplishments.
Okay, Mr. Research over there. But okay.
I'm just saying, Reese, you're being biased because you want the Tom Brady standard to be a first ballot Hall of Famer is unfair. Unfair. Yeah. It is. There's no if that's the standard, hell, there are no first ballot Hall of Famers.
Is Antonio Brown first ballot Hall of Famer?
No.
Hell no.
Hell to the no.
I don't even know if he can be a Hall of Famer.
Hey,
I don't even know if he can be a Hall of Famer.
Okay, well, put the stats up, Mr. Research over there. My point I'm making is that everybody, and to your point, I'm joining you on this one, Mac. Everybody's not a Hall of Famer. Everybody playing NFL is not a Hall of Famer. But we put people in there, like Thomas Davis, who was a really good player.
Reese.
He was great for the community, but he's not a damn Hall of Famer.
But, Reese, think about what you're saying, though, Reese. Come on now.
What?
Lay Tom Brady aside. Stop because he's messing up the curve here. I'm just telling you, he's blowing the curve. You gotta stop putting Tom Brady in there. He's blowing the curve.
Okay. Okay, we'll take Tom out.
You take the Thomas Davises of the world, the Adrian Petersons of the world, and you put these guys on a ballot. You can't tell me they are not Hall of Fame guys. And you know they are.
Is Torrey Holt a Hall of Famer?
Of course he is.
Okay, well, damn it, he's not in.
Well, that's because this whole bias of, because you start adding stuff like Tom Brady. So, like, if you ask me right now, some of the wide receivers they put in before Torrey Holt, there's nothing other than, and I'll say it, nothing other than just good PR and good politics is the reason that they got there.
Well,
it is.
Well,
what, you know that, what? That's the truth.
I
know nobody like me to say it. Yeah. I know nobody wants me to say it. Yeah. But then,
I agree with you on that. I will agree with you on that to a certain extent. Now, the other guys, the wide receiver, is pretty damn good. Andre Bruce, pretty good. Now, I thought maybe Torres would win in for him, in my opinion. But, Megatron. I mean, some of the guys that can play that went in before Torrey did. I guess my point is, Mac, you should be really special to get in that Hall of Fame. And I'm saying Thomas Davis doesn't jump off the page. I mean, a good player. Yeah. Solid contributor to the community. A good. But Hall of Famer? I don't know.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying.
Boy.
I said it.
You said it. Put it down. Man.
Put it down. Judas Peppers, first ballot Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
Well, what has he done? Juice Peppers done no more than AP.
AP's done a lot.
Oh, my God. Adrian Peterson and AP's trajectory and career in that country. Matter of fact, I think they would be damn near identical. Both
Julius Peppers is on the NFL's All-Decade Team for the 2000s and the 2010s.
That's what he's doing, K-Man. Like, pull it down.
Like Reese said, who the hell asked you anything?
I don't see. He ain't gonna miss a research. Hey, Mac, I got one for you. One of our listeners, Mr. Pringley, chiming in again. Yeah. He's like, is Luke Kuechly, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? First ballot now.
No.
He'll get in, though. He'll get in first ballot.
Yeah, he'll get in eventually. Yeah. Maybe not first ballot.
Wait, whoa. What you mean he'll get in first ballot?
He'll get in first ballot.
No! Come on.
Put it down. How many more years? Put it down. Two more years? Two more years, I think? Three years?
Two more, I think, yeah.
First ballot.
Ooh, Reese, I don't know.
Man, we're gonna have a whole hour on this. We ain't got enough time. Because I got some other ones. Because you're talking about Thomas Davis, a Hall of Famer. I got a problem with that.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.